Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth
drama.
All right. Welcome to Smooth Drama with your host,
Soul Brother Number One, Tucker, aka F the N word.
Really?
and I'm joined by my electric co-host, Miss 100%.
Wow.
And tonight, we've got psychic author Karen Harrison. So if you want to holler at us, or if you want your, if you want to know a little bit about yourself, Miss Harrison can definitely show you the way. If you're interested in that type of thing, feel free to give us a call, 646-929-2037. Once again, the call-in number is 646-929-2037. Now, also, we have our blog talk chat room. Also, if you go to our Smooth Drama site, you go to the chat room section, you can there see my face that's made for radio. And you can chat with me live, well, me and Miss 100% live. We're all over the place. And we socially network, Twitter, I'm Smooth Drama. Everywhere else, tag my yearbook, Facebook, I'm Dick Hugger, add me. And to add my electric co-host, what can we do?
Well, you can always reach me on Facebook, add me, Miss 100% Smith. That's where you can find me under. Also, you can catch me as Miss Short Thing on Tag, or you can email me directly at imnotonebs@yahoo.com. And that's the way it's done, people.
Yeah. And speaking of not being on any BS, I remember, and y'all know me, I'm fair and unbiased. I had an opinion on the new Spider-Man, Ultimate Spider-Man book. I was outraged. You know, the new Black Spider-Man, there are all kinds of rumors about him. And I actually read the book, and it's an awesome book. I can't say anything about it bad. I mean, it is not just awesome. It's one of the best reads I've had in a long, long time. So
this is your formal public apology.
Well, I mean, I made a rush to judgment without reading it. And so now I'm pulling back saying, you know what, next time before I diss something, I'm actually read it before I diss it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I think it was more, because it wasn't just you, because I read another blog. I think it was more, people were outraged over the rumors of how it was just so many changes about it. And, you know, the Spider-Man that we all knew, it just didn't reflect what we all knew. So, and a lot of people were kind of upset about that, so...
Yeah. All right. I'm conceding defeat. But
okay.
You know, I mean, he gets bit by a spider and all that. And speaking of getting bit by a spider, for all you spider enthusiasts out there, just in case you want to have a chance to be Spider-Man or Spider-Woman, there's a report that came out that Spider Venom may be the new Viagra. And, Yeah, they say there's a species that may actually help boost a man's libido.
Really?
Yeah, a single bite from the Brazilian wandering spider has been shown to have side effects, including 4-hour-long erections.
Whoa.
Yeah.
So if they, can they get the spider at some type of pet store or wherever they sell spiders and just let the spider bite their weenies, or what are they supposed to do?
I already took care of that. I found a place online, KenTheBugGuy.com.
Wow.
He sells all of that. You can get your own Brazilian wandering spider. Only one thing, though. This species happened to have very strong venom. If you get bit by it, you may die.
Oh, so it's kind of a roll in the dice type of thing. So either you lick your heart or you die.
Well, and even if you die, you will definitely go out with the heart on that you were looking for.
Okay, I got a question about this. So the spider has to bite you guys on the penis?
No. It just needs to bite you.
Oh.
Unfortunately, it's a very aggressive spider.
Mm-hmm.
The kind of spider that chases after you type aggressive.
Because I was going to ask, what sister you know going to let you go up in her after she see a spider bite on your thing? So that's why I ate them.
See, but only you would think to say something like that.
I'm just asking questions. That's all.
Okay.
I mean,
where do you get the, it's got to bite you on your thing? I just said the spider bite. And you like, okay, then a man got to put his penis in the spider.
I'm curious. Just being curious. That's all.
Yeah, I see that. All right.
I'm pretty sure other people have the same question. Like,
I don't think so. I think that was all you.
is it a way to get the spider's venom out without allowing the spider to bite you? Maybe you can.
Well, the College of Georgia, it's the toxins in spider. So I guess if you're a scientist and you know how to take out the toxin that will kill you, separate that and make it into your own Viagra concoction, then yeah, you'll be good.
So maybe people should just wait until this actually is approved and comes out and it's all, cleared up of the toxins and all of that, the poison and all of that. You know, don't go out to the, don't call the bug guy, don't do that, people.
Well, I mean, either you gonna hit up Ken the Bug Guy or you gonna have to go to Central South America.
Not well, I guess people will still, I guess they gonna just have to go without it then.
Yeah.
It's not worth it.
Yeah, well, thinking of going without it there. Just reading, you're safe, Miss 100%. The guy in the South down in Arkansas who's been traveling around sucking on women's feet.
The toe sucking fairy.
Yes. Michael Wyatt's been arrested, so you don't have to worry about your toes being attacked.
We don't worry. I was waiting on him.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds good, except for homie was threatening women, telling them, I'd cut your feet off and suck your toes while you bleed to death. So it wasn't like he was nice with it. It wasn't like he's like this smooth, debonair guy like, hey, baby, can I suck your toes? He's like, hey, I cut your toes off and
then suck them after he gonna suck on cut off toes.
Pretty much.
Oh, he's crazy as hell.
Yeah, he's got a few things. I mean, he got in trouble for flashing photographs of women's feet to another woman, asking her if she'd like him to cut her feet off.
Wow.
Yeah. So, He wasn't nice.
Wow. I mean, can you imagine going to prison and, They ask what you in for. You in there for sucking on cut off toes?
Well, he was kind of crazy. So it's a little different.
Woo!
There's a little difference. I'm going to cut your toes off crazy.
So did he actually cut off anybody's toes?
No.
He was just threatening them, and they say, okay, well, you can suck on me, and I don't want to cut out.
Well, no, he actually pretended like he was a podiatrist at one time also, so he sucked women's toes.
Wow.
So he had a lot of issues going on.
I tell you what, if he'd have got to me, he would have cleared those issues right up real damn quick.
Anyway. I'm not even going. Oh, man. Anyway. Wow. But, you know, I guess that would be like a difference between the United States and other countries. In other countries, I mean, we got guys who are threatening to cut your toes off and all this other stuff. And you know how we got stuff that all these things that are illegal that are pertaining to sex and anything that has anything to do with sensuality is frowned upon.
Right.
If you go to the Czech Republic, they have a manual for the working woman. It's the how-to guide for the working woman of the new millennium.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, you can learn how to avoid STDs, not get pregnant, and, you know, I guess be the best bottom bitch that you can be.
Yeah. They got a manual on how to eventually become the bottom bitch. Wow.
But if you think about it, you know, we have our commercials, our military commercials of be all that you can be and all that other garbage. But, I mean, what is be all you can be? I don't know what that means. I mean, because, you know, they show you how to be all you can be. I mean, if you got an instruction manual for the hooker,
right.
I mean, you think about it. As you go up the line, I mean, instructions for everything. I mean, we don't even want to really talk about the hookers here.
Yep. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, but they like, hey, we want to show you how to be the best hoe that you can be.
Well, I guess they figure, you know, if they spend their money, they want her to handle her business right. A weak, lazy hooker.
Hey, well, our hookers are way up here. Can't even mess with our hoes.
And the pimp wants the best hookers that he can find. So
yeah,
they have a training manual, you know. Wow, I cannot believe we were talking about this. But
well, no, I mean, it wasn't like we wrote it. This is a government manifesto.
Yeah. And they also have the prostitute's complete fellatio training manual. So they have a training manual on Amazon.com that, you know, teach women how to get hit.
Yeah, I mean, but is it in English? Do they have an English version?
I don't know about that.
I'm saying, because we can leak that.
Yeah, pretty sure we could.
Yeah, we just leak
it. It's on Amazon, so you can probably find it in English, too.
Yeah, I'm saying, if we can leak that, I mean, you think about how many relationships that we can save.
I'm not going there with you. But I agree, but I'm not going there.
Well, that brings us into the last point of this segment. You know, they got this little, the surveys, well, not surveys, the studies, how they're saying the question, can oral sex cause throat cancer?
Right.
They're talking about how roughly up to 75% of teenagers and young adults have turned to oral sex as a less risky option.
Mm-hmm.
But they're saying that it's not. You know, because they're saying that you can have the oral sex, but the HPV, the papillomavirus.
Yeah.
You know, you can catch that.
Right. And I mean, that's common sense, though, because if a person has any type of an STD and you perform an oral sex on them, you can still get it in your mouth.
Right.
So, I mean, that's not safe sex.
Right.
And then you got to think the papillomavirus is bacteria, and bacteria builds up and it can cause all kinds of things to happen. And one of them things just happened to be throat cancer.
So we're saying stay safe, but some of y'all need to wash y'all ass.
I mean, just don't be going down on everybody. I mean, you can't just be putting your mouth on everything.
All right. Well,
that's just how it is. I mean, you shouldn't have to say that to people, but unfortunately.
Wise words from Miss 100%. Don't put your mouth on everybody. Just put your mouth on somebody.
You have to really do that.
On that note, we going to go on a little break here before we get Miss Hanson on here. And this is Ills. To know your place in the universe. I think it's kind of appropriate. Think of nothing more appropriate to do than talk to Miss Karen Harrison, the psychic mama, and she can tell you about your place in the universe or something along them lines.
Hello.
Hey, Miss Harrison. Welcome to Smooth Drama. How you doing tonight?
I'm laughing my ass off.
Hey, psychic drama. What's going on?
Not a whole lot. Just listening to y'all. I was wondering when you were going to segue to me.
Gotcha. I read your book, and you made a few references, but I want to ask about your reference about bathing in red light and being bored, and so you played with your energy. Please enlighten us so that we too can play with our energy.
All right. Basically, what I do is, you know when you get the chills and you feel that little energy run up your skin?
Mm-hmm.
That's your energy in your body. What I do is I focus on each and every little spot. So, like, I start with my fingers, and I get that tingling going. And then I move that up my arms and around my body. And eventually I can get it really spinning and running through my body and spinning around in circles, and that's what I do. The way I came onto that, actually, was I used to have really bad migraines, and I was starting to get one. I had gotten out of the shower and opened up the slider door, and the wind was blowing. And I'm laying on the bed trying to relax, because that's about all you can do with a migraine if you're not taking drugs. And the wind hit that water and sent the chills up my back, through the back of my neck and up into my head, and it started to relax that pain in my head. So that's when I started thinking, well, maybe I can start doing this on my own. So I just focused on it and imagined that feeling, just envisioned that feeling in my skin, and it started doing it. Now it's the only way I meditate.
Hey. So talk about your book, The Secret Way, and how you were inspired to do it.
Oh, I have been psychic all of my life. When I was younger, I went through some abuse when I was with my family. My dad was very violent, and he sexually abused me as well. And so throughout my childhood, I learned how to basically astral project, which is your spirit leaving your body. And a lot of people will do that when they're experiencing trauma, violence, whatever it is, so that they don't have to physically experience it. And through that process as a child, I developed a lot of anger and misunderstanding about love. So through my 20s and halfway through my 30s, I spent a lot of time being angry, a lot of time having bad relationships. And right around about 37 was when I realized that I needed to make some changes, because I was very miserable, I was very unhappy, and I didn't have good relationships. And at that point is when I realized that I needed to do some changes within me. And so I started working on myself. I did a lot of self-help books, and I just looked and searched for different things that spoke to me. I'd go into a bookstore. If a book stood out to me, I would read it. And through that process, I started reconnecting with my psychic ability.
Okay.
And when I got to the point where I was feeling better, I was able to release most of what I dealt with in my childhood, a friend was talking to me, and I'd heard a few times I should write a book. And I never really thought there was a reason to write a book. And she was telling me the reason was is that could it help other people that were experiencing the same thing, it would help them to go on their process. And so I sat down and I wrote the book in 2 weeks. And that's all she wrote.
Okay. Well, now.
I wanted to know, now we all know that there's a stigma attached to the word psychic.
Mm-hmm.
Enlighten us on psychic, being psychic, or being a spiritual medium. Just kind of educate us on, you know, why people shouldn't be afraid, because I kind of believe that, you know, when people don't understand certain things, they automatically, they shut it down because they're, it, because of fear. So,
right. Well, first of all, there's a difference between spirituality and being psychic.
Okay.
Okay. Spirituality is learning who you are. Being psychic, everybody is. But the fear of it comes from different places. One, people don't understand it. People don't like to know about things that are unknown. And then religion has a lot to do with the understanding of fearing psychics. Also, the bad psychics give us a bad name. People who are just out there taking advantage. But as far as being psychic, everybody is. Being psychic is just your intuition. And I know that everybody's experienced. Let's say you're thinking about somebody. You've been thinking about somebody for a couple of days, and then all of a sudden they call you. You haven't talked to them in 2 or 3 months, but they're on the telephone. Or when they call, you already know they're on the phone. Or you're driving to work, and all of a sudden you decide, I'm going to go in a different direction. You get to work, and then you're listening to the radio. All of a sudden you find out there was an accident that way, and had you gone in that direction, you would have been in that accident. It's intuition. That's it.
Okay.
Now, the difference is, and this is kind of how I explain it to everybody. Being psychic is like, it's comparative to being a basketball player. We all know, and I'm not going to pull a basketball player out of my head. Give me one.
Me.
One that makes money doing it.
Kobe Bryant.
Okay, fine, thanks. But I'm nice, though. At Trinity Power Fitness.
Okay, so anyways, a professional basketball player that's born with the gift, Shaquille, okay? He is a professional basketball player, and he's amazing at what he does. But there's other people that are not born with the gift that can train to do it. And that's the difference between what I do and what you guys can do. If you focused on learning your intuition and truly listening to it, you could do what I do.
Yeah, I don't know.
But some people call that witchcraft.
And I think that comes from religion, hon.
Yeah.
I think that really comes from religion, and there's a lot of people that have been made fearful of it for a very long time.
Well,
right now we're getting ready to enter the age of Aquarius, which means there's going to be more thinning on the veil, which means we'll be able to connect with the other side a lot easier than we used to. And I think that the closer we get to the age of Aquarius, people are going to be opening up to it more. The generation right now that's being, that has been born, my son's generation and the next generation, they're coming in with the knowledge. They have access to the knowledge when they come in. And people like me, like when I was a kid, the trauma that I went through forced me to go back and find that access to that knowledge just because of the violence that I was going through.
Okay.
And you're going to find there's a very high percent of psychics, mediums, intuitives, whatever they call themselves, they have experienced childhood trauma.
Okay.
Well, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Fred. I'll hold my question back.
Well, I was going to say that when you talk about being a medium, I mean, there's the things that we see on TV about being a medium. I like your personal definition of what being a medium is to you.
For me, being a medium isn't any different than being a reader. It's not any different than everything that I do, the healing. It's just connecting with the other side. Now, I think that there are psychics, although I don't know any personally, that can see spirits as clearly as, what was that, medium? What is her name? Patricia. Patricia Arquette is the actress, but I can't think of the girl's name.
Not Anna Paquin. That's not her. That's the dark hair girl. Oh.
Right. Well, anyways, I think she sees them that clearly, but yeah. I'm not positive. But I know that some do. I've never met anybody that do, and for me, it doesn't appear that way. But I think maybe even Sylvia Brown sees them that clearly. And it really doesn't matter if you can see them or if you can't see them, because it's the information that you're getting in from the other side. Hmm. And so a medium, I'm sorry, Fred, I just got your question. A medium is somebody that contacts or has contact with a spirit from the other side that specifically wants to talk to a person. Whereas a reading, at least for me, a reading, I get information from spirits around people, from spirits around me, or dreams. I have dreams. I know I did with Jerry. I dreamt about her the night before I talked to her, and I do that quite a bit. So I guess the difference would be is it's like sitting down and having a conversation with the spirit on the other side for the person that you're reading for.
Okay.
Now, I've always wondered, the show Crossing Over with John Edwards, the guy who talks to the people that are dead or on the other side.
Right.
I've often wondered what was the purpose behind that. They're gone. He never really gave anybody any type of message. He just went around the room and saying, okay, yeah, you know a lady named Anna, and she died in a car accident. Your baby died, you know, and so forth. But he never gave them any type of insight information. And I'm trying to understand what is the purpose in upsetting somebody like that or scaring a person like that if you're not going to lead them in the right direction on what to do with that information after you told them. Because it's kind of like you just leaving them, you know, leaving everything up in the air. So now they're more confused than they were before.
There's a message in itself, okay, to let people know that their loved ones are around. That helps people understand how close we truly are to them, and that death is just a process of transferring from one realm to another. So you go from the earthly plane to the spiritual plane, and helping people understand that they are that close, that they do stand next to us, they do come in and pay attention to our lives, and they do their best to get messages to us to help us move forward. Now, as far as his process goes, I can't speak about that, honey. I don't do things like that, but mm-hmm. I can't say that it's wrong either, because letting people know, and just by telling somebody that I see your dad standing there, this is his name, and this is how he died, lets them know. Because there's a lot of people that don't believe that there is life beyond the earth when they leave.
Okay, so that's the message in itself.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I mean, anybody that understands, that's movement forward for them. And if people are paying attention to what they're hearing, then they can truly understand that the transformation is a wonderful one. And death doesn't have to be scary.
Now, okay, that was very good. Thank you. Now, I've thought about how does, if a person is not a believer in this, or they just don't want to accept it, but they decide to give it a try, how do they, you know, decipher who's real and who's not? Like, how can a person keep themselves from being taken advantage of by the Miss Cleos and the Mother Loves and, you know, different celebrities that all of a sudden now they need money and they're a psychic? But
call me now.
That's obvious. How, you know, how does a person know for sure that, okay, you're a real spiritual medium, but how do they know that Susie is or isn't, you know? How do they?
Well, this is kind of a two-part question. The very first answer, and I tell all of my clients this, you need to feel a connection with the person that's reading you. And if you don't feel comfortable with it, if you're not listening to you, if there's anything that says, I don't know about this, you need to find somebody else.
Okay.
Because psychics and people who get readings from psychics need to have at least a semi-connection. And if you're not feeling that, I mean, you can meet somebody on the street and know immediately whether you're going to really like that person or not. You just have a feeling about it. And that's what you need to do when you go to a reader. There are thousands and thousands of readers. And the purpose for that is because not every personality goes with another.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I offer 100% money back if you're not satisfied with your reading. So I'm thinking if you're picking up readers that are doing that, that want you to have a good message, that is a good place for you to go. But even if somebody comes to me, and I've had it happen a couple of times where I did not make a connection, what I will do is send them to somebody that I know that feels right to me, that it's going to be a better reading for them.
Okay.
And I think if you pay attention to your intuition, if you listen, you look, like if they've got a website, look and see. Go through those testimonials. And don't just read the testimonials. Listen to what you're feeling when you read them.
Well, I was going to ask you a question, but you answered it, so.
Okay. I had this conversation last night when I was going to sleep.
Well, now I, in reading your book, I know there were some parts where you were being a skeptic about being psychic, and you were expressing shock that someone can read you, even though you're psychic and you read people. I mean, talk about that. I don't know. It's kind of funny.
It is kind of funny. I hate to be read. I'm a very private person. But as far as being a skeptic about it, I'm a Taurus, okay? So everything's logic for me. And so the transition was really difficult for me when I moved into this. I actually did a technical job before I started running my business. But growing up, my mother told me I was from the devil. Mm-hmm. Everybody that I met when I could, I knew things, and it freaked them out. So it was constantly bombarded with people telling me it wasn't for real. And then after I moved out of the house and went out on my own, I noticed that I would know things about people. I could read people's minds when I started being around them at longer periods of time, like people I worked with. Then I could read their minds, and I would start answering questions, and people just freaked out about it. So that just made me think I shouldn't believe in myself. And that's what that process was for me. It was really hard to realize that I was a psychic. It was a hard transition for me to make because I had been told so many times that it wasn't real. It was either from the devil or it just wasn't real. You can't do that. I couldn't tell you how many times. But if I had a dime for every time I was told that, I'd be a billionaire right now.
Yeah, I mean, because I was going to say that would have made for uneasy relationships.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. My children freak out a little bit.
I mean, I'm thinking like someone dating you and, okay, they can say, well, I don't believe it. But when you're pretty much everything they're saying, you know, they kind of believe it, and they're trying to, I can see how the open sharing part can kind of be twisted a little.
Well, not really, because when I was married, the two times that I wasn't really open with it. I hid it from everybody, so I never really told them a whole lot. Now, I would do things like with my first husband, I think I put this in the book, we would be driving up, we lived in California, we would drive up to San Francisco from Edwards, which is the Mojave Desert.
Right.
And I could be sleeping in the car, and all of a sudden I'd wake up and I'd say, hey, you got to slow down, there's a cop up ahead. He'd always see the cop within a mile. But to this day, he will tell you, I'm not psychic.
Wow.
Right. And I did a lot of things, and I never really thought about doing those things. As far as knowing people in a relationship, that is reasonably new for me. I had to work on myself. I had to learn me, And I had to understand me before I could start to understand other people, because all of that anger and negativity that I had, that I carried with me from my childhood, kept me from opening up to people in a relationship. Mm. So I wasn't ever really, I wasn't able to sit down with them and read their thoughts, because my thoughts were too jumbled with the negativity, if that makes sense.
That makes a lot of sense. I have one more question. I kind of want to go real deep.
Okay. So,
I want to...
You might want to get you one of those spiders then for your man.
No.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, sweetie.
But no, I want to ask you about the past life regression experience. The, you know, I know that you can't go totally into it without, you know, being with a person, but kind of give like a brief gloss, you know, just gloss over.
Okay. So the past life regressions that I do is a meditation process that actually takes a person into their past lives. I facilitate the process by asking questions and then reminding them to stay back and watch it like it's a movie, rather than getting emotionally involved in it. Now, one thing I want to clear up right now, I've heard over and over again that you can get lost in a past life and get stuck there. That is not true. That is not true. You cannot get stuck ever. I do past life regressions for myself on my own. So you cannot get stuck. I don't care how upset you get, and you don't die. Nothing bad happens. Basically, what a past life regression does is brings your soul back to that past life, and you're remembering. It's your soul remembering that lifetime. That's it. It's just memories. It's like sitting and daydreaming and flashing back to when you were a kid. And it's really that simple.
Okay.
Past life readings is when a reader reads for you and tells you what your past lives are. I do that as well. I just prefer to do the past life regressions because the purpose of them is to release negative energy or negative cell memory, I'm sorry, from your past lives that you've brought over to this lifetime. And there's all different ways that that can happen. But I think the best example that I can think of is in Sylvia Brown's book, Past Lives, Future Healing. There is a man who starts having severe neck problems when he's in his 30s. And he's going to doctor after doctor after doctor. And this guy, or they're telling this guy that it's all in his head. There's nothing wrong with him. He ends up doing a past life regression with Sylvia Brown. And within 2 weeks, that pain is gone. And what he found out is in that past life that he went back to, he was hung to death. At the same age, he started to experience the pain in this lifetime. So negative cell memory can be anything. It can be pain. It can be relationship problems. You can have commitment phobias based on a past life. So what you do is you go through this past life, you see these memories, and then I help you to correlate what happened in that lifetime with what's happening in this lifetime, and then I give you a prayer and you release it, and then it no longer bothers you.
That sounds scary as hell.
Yeah, it is. But it's kind of like a stepping stone. It helps you to be a better or more productive person in this life than you were before, if you knew what happened back then.
Absolutely.
You improve upon yourself now.
Well, I want to say first, I know the name of the book, and you said the name of the book, but one of the bloggers wanted to know the name of the book, and you might want to tell them what the name of the book is and where they can get it.
Okay. It's called Within Me, Relationship of Self. And you can go on my website, www.thespiritway.com. And if you go on the book tab, there is two different buttons that you can click. One is for the Kindle, and the other one is for the ebook, and they're both the same price.
Okay. And where else can people find you if they want to just connect with you?
I'm on Facebook / The Spirit Way. I'm on tagged as The Spirit Way. And I also have a WordPress called thespiritwaytoday.com.
Okay. Thank you. I really appreciate you coming on and enlightening us about the whole process and giving us some relief, you know, so we don't feel overwhelmed about things like this.
You know, you can, when you go on my site, you can check out the different readings that I have set up. And I do in-person readings, but I also do phone readings, and there's truly no difference whatsoever. And I'll do the past life regressions, but those are only in person. They're the only thing I do in person, or that's the only one that I have to do in person. So any of my readings you can get over the phone. You can get them on Skype, Google. I now have a webcam, so we could do a face-to-face on whichever one you want to use. I'm set up with Skype, with MSN, with Google. I never remember the fourth one, but I'm pretty much got everything set up for anybody that whatever they've got.
So if y'all listening, webcam action. With Psychic Mama, get some webcam action.
They don't know me like that anymore.
It's a nut.
I haven't been giggled in a long time. Also, I wanted to say that I do email readings, and there's absolutely no difference between my email readings, my in-person, or over the telephone. So then the email readings are actually a little bit less expensive.
Okay.
All right.
And there is always 100% return if you're not happy.
Okay. All right. Well, I want to thank you for coming on and shedding some light on these things, and I look forward to speaking to you again, hopefully getting you back on to share your vast well of knowledge with us on things that we have no clue as to what's going on with us.
Wait, y'all have a clue. I'm just a reminder. That's it.
Okay.
Thank you so much for having me. I had a wonderful time.
Thank you for coming on. You have a good night.
All right, you too.
Good night.
Good night.
All right. This is Karen Harrison, Psychic Mama. Y'all check her out on her website, The Spirit Way. Very interesting stuff. I mean, I know for me, I'm scary.
So you heard what she said about the hair standing up on your arms and the back of your neck tingling. It's not like they say, what's the movie? I See Dead People, The Sixth Sense, when he said it's the prickly things on your back of your neck, it's the dead people messing with you. That's not true.
it's you getting in touch with your energy. I mean, I'm just thinking, what's that song? Put on the red light.
Put on the red light. You get in touch with yourself and learning how to play with your energy.
Yes. Okay, so we're going to do a quick station identification break, and we'll be right back.
Together you got to move from the
all right. So now that I've turned on the red light, I've got my red shirt on.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to get some double red in tonight. but now it's that time of the show when we talk about those people.
Yeah, my favorite time.
The dumbasses. And so, if you would like to start Miss 100% and share with the world your dumbass of the week.
Yes. Now, this lady, a grandmother from Fairfax, Virginia, I don't so much as call her a dumbass as a dumbass bitch, excuse me, but you'll find out in a moment.
All right.
She's a grandmother to a two-year-old, and she decided because she was jealous of the relationship between the two-year-old, her own daughter, and the daughter's father, she was so enraged that she decided to throw the two-year-old off a balcony in Virginia's largest shopping mall and kill her two-year-old granddaughter. And she said that she could see nothing but the father and only thought about how the father took her daughter away from her and how she no longer had a relationship with her daughter because of him and the baby. And they would have secret codes that they used, and they were always whispering about her. And so she felt that killing the granddaughter was the only way to basically break this up and get her daughter back.
Yeah, so killing my grandchild will help me get my mother.
Mm-hmm.
And get my daughter back.
She was very, very jealous. She said, everybody loves her. Everybody loves her more than me. I feel like there's no more love for me. All she thought about was herself. She didn't like her baby, her grandbaby, and she killed her.
All right. Yeah. I have nothing to say. That old, if you got nothing good to say, don't say nothing at all.
Yeah.
I'm silent.
Yeah. The word that I called her don't even describe the other stuff that I wanted to say about this lady.
Well, what can be said about someone who kills their own grandchild because they want more attention?
Yeah.
Yeah. You. Moving on to my dumbass.
Yes.
Because I can't.
I'm just mad.
Yeah. Mad is an understatement. My dumbass comes out of my favorite state, Florida. it's just something in the water in Florida, man. There's an ice cream cone, ice cream shop in Florida, who they thought a good idea was to have an ice cream cone mascot. Only thing is, their ice cream cone mascot's uniform looked like a Ku Klux Klansman's uniform in the South. I mean, and they were like, we don't know what was happening, and the business was dropping. No one was coming into their shop. And they didn't think in the South. And mind you, these were not people of Caucasian descent. Jasmine Gonzalez and the crew. They find out that the people thought it was a Klan establishment.
What?
Because the ice cream cone guy, he's in a white suit with a white pointy hat.
Wow.
Intelligence is on call. Because only in Florida can you dress somebody up to look like a Klansman and say it's an ice cream cone. Come on in. We got some ice cream for you.
Oh, I'm in tears over here.
I mean, that's extra special, right? I mean,
special is not the word. Wow.
Yeah, you don't want to be in business. You just don't. Right?
Now, he didn't get, like, beat up or nothing, did he? Because, I mean.
Well, he's lucky.
That's what I was saying. Like, I thought you were gonna say next that he got the hell beat out of him or something. But
he's lucky that he didn't get the hell beat out of him. And it's not his fault. He's just a guy probably making $8 an hour sitting out in the hot Florida sun in the Klan suit. Anyway.
Wow.
They all should have known better. If he should have seen the white hat and been like, dog, this kind of looks like I'm in the Klan.
Never mind, we ain't going there. Let's move on. Because I was going to try to make logic, but never mind.
Yeah, well, I want to rationalize something. Wichita County, Sedgwick County in Wichita, they charge $50.16 a day to house inmates for municipal charges. Which are misdemeanors, and that includes domestic violence, battery, and driving under influence. To offset that cost, they charge inmates $48 a day. Because the county charges them, so they charge the inmates $48 a day for being locked up.
Okay.
They're talking about raising the jail fees and the court costs.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we talked about how they do the kinder, gentler thing now, and they call human trafficking, which is slavery to me.
Right.
Now we have just recouping court costs, indentured servitude. Now, for those of you who don't understand what indentured servitude was, it was one of the precursors to slavery, where you had people who had to work off their debt. We call it prostitution nowadays. But you'd be beholden to someone, you work off your debt. But it seems like you never get to work off your debt because they end up charging you more for every year.
Right.
And for a prisoner, I'm locked up.
Mm-hmm.
I get out. Because I was a prisoner, I can't get a job. It's hard enough to get a job when you're not a prisoner. So now you're stuck with these huge bills, and if you can't pay them bills, it puts your ass back in jail.
Right back in jail, because you can't pay the higher court or in the fine.
Right. So, I mean, to me, isn't this like the introduction to the Matrix? You know, you no matter what you do, you ending up back in that circle of debt, and you eventually going back to the penal.
Yes, very quickly, there was a story about a young man or a guy, a gentleman, who actually had some court fines that he needed to pay, and he was paying on them, so he was released with the understanding that if he kept paying, going to his parole officer, that he would stay out of jail. Somehow, he was paying, didn't get the message that, we didn't get the money, he got thrown in jail, and now he can't get a job, he can't go to work. Because now that he's out of jail, he has to do a work release program. So he has to pay more fines. But how does he pay them if he can't go to work because he has to go to a work release program or either go back to jail?
Well, there you have it. I mean, it's not intended to help the prisoner. It's intended to keep his ass coming back so that we can get that free labor. Which is the whole indentured servitude / slavery, cheap labor thing we was talking about?
Yeah.
Okay. And on that note, I want to thank Ms. Karen Harrison, the psychic mama, author supreme, for coming on the show. I want to thank you, of course, Ms. 100%. I want to thank my homie for listening in on the show. Dick Hugger, a.k.a. F the N-word, for my electric coal.
It's electric. Oh, my bad.
100%. We have smooth drama. And we... Peace.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth.
Drama.